no life is the same, and we believe that no retirement should be either. Cardinal Freeman The Residence in Ashfield is a community that lets you keep living your passions and maybe even discover a few more. Enjoy an award-winning clubhouse, a jam-packed monthly social calendar, or the freedom to travel for months at a time, knowing that your home is part of a secure community. For more information, call us on 1800 727170 or visit our sales office at 137 Victoria Street, Ashfield. Cardinal Freeman The Residence, a proud sponsor of Radio 2RDJ FM.
And welcome to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet at radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I'm Professor Mutton Chop Stumpy Gazza.
You have altered your facial hair this week.
I have indeed.
It is a little bit off-putting, but now that you have brought out the mutton chops expression that I am forced to regale myself with tales of Judge Mutton Chops from the olden days on the old DJ and Late Show.
Absolutely. I'm the Professor Stumpy Mutton Chop. Gaz, and sitting in the other seat directly across the desk from me is none other than the Faceplant Kid.
Hello, I'm Jason Murray.
Hi Jason, how the hell are you, mate?
I feel a little bit out of practice, actually. It's been like 3 weeks since I've been here, and I've forgotten equipment, I've forgotten things, I've probably forgotten etiquette, I'm not sure.
Would you put some clothes on, please? Did you bring any of those with you?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
I'm just glad it's not a. I'm glad it's not a video podcast. Okay.
I'll turn the cameras off now.
Oh.
Yes, I didn't tell you that we've installed cameras in the studio.
Yeah, awkward.
That's because we didn't. What have you been up to, Matt?
I went and saw something this morning that I was super looking forward to. I'm really glad I saw it. There's a new Spider-Man animated movie called Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
If you're a Spider-Man fan, it's got several Peter Parkers in it. It's got Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man, who is a teenager called Miles Morales, who's not Peter Parker. And
Miles Morales.
Yeah, it's got Spider-Gwen, Spider-Ham, all these other things. There's multiple Spider. Yeah, Spider-Man. Spider-Ham is a pig who's also Spider-Man in his universe.
Right.
It is fantastic. It is probably the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen, and I am a fan of Spider-Man movies. I was super excited to see it this morning. It's been on advanced screenings. I think it comes out in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, cool. We have... What have I done? I've got my new Beatles album.
Yeah.
This is the reissue, 50th anniversary reissue of the Beatles' White Album. Of course, some people I know have downloaded it in digital format. How did I get it? Vinyl. Black vinyl.
You purchased it off a website in digital currency.
I did. You're quite right. But it is vinyl. 180 gram vinyl. And, oh my God, it is good. With a capital F.
So have they remastered it for the anniversary?
Remixed and remastered. Mm-hmm. David Martin, as you know, was the original producer of most of the Beatles.
I totally know this.
Everyone does.
So it's not quite the original White Album, is it now the Grey Album?
No. It's all the tracks that are on the White Album, and I bought the special edition one. George Martin did the original production of it. His son Gavin has got the original tapes, and he has remixed and remastered it. So it sounds a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it is very bloody nice, and especially in vinyl.
Fantastic.
And, vinyl to me sounds a lot better than digital. Because our ears are not digital. They are analog.
Speak for yourself.
Okay.
I had the implants done.
Right.
Did you not know about that?
You didn't tell me.
No.
You didn't tell me.
Yeah. Now, whenever a mobile phone rings near me, my ears ring.
Okay. Just be careful you don't get engaged.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm constantly busy anyway.
Well, there you go. So I have that. It arrived on Monday, and because of other things happening during the week, yesterday we sat down on the couch, just like we did in the old days.
Yeah, you say other things happened, so you were unable to listen to your album.
And from it arrived on Monday until Saturday.
Because like, if you had, purchased the digital one, you could have listened to it while doing other things.
No.
Oh,
see, what I was about to say was, this is just like the good old days where you sit down on the couch with your beloved, mm-hmm. and you listen to your new album. And you just sit there, and just like in the old days, you know, you turn it up and you listen to it, and you go on Twitter and tweet about it.
Yeah, that's. I was going to say,
like we did in 1968 when it first came out.
Isn't that what we all like used to sit on the phone for hours on conference calls to talk about?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Exactly. Now we're on Twitter just like we did in 1968, November the 9th, 1968, when it was first released.
Yeah, look, I remember John Lennon's tweets from the time well.
Exactly, exactly. They were actually quite memorable tweets, those ones.
They were.
Yes. Speaking of music from the 60s, this is Eric Burdon and the Animals, San Franciscan Nights.
Is this why we had a cat sound to open the show?
Oh, you're already there.
Yeah, okay.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco, who may not know it, but they are beautiful, and so is their city. This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it. If not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
Strobe lights beam, create streams. Walls move, minds do too. On a warm San Franciscan night.
If you're driving and you see someone who's blind and using a white cane, there are three things to remember to help make it safer for them to cross the road. Firstly, give them a little more time to cross. Please don't honk or yell because that's really confusing for them. And finally, if you can see their cane, it means they can't see you. So don't get too close and please follow the road rules. Remember, watch out, cane about. A community service announcement from Guide Dogs.
Hi, I'm Betty.
I'm John.
We invite you to join us every Saturday evening on 2RDJ between 6 and 8 for our new program, Makedonski Koreni. We will keep you entertained with the latest modern Macedonian music and topics from this rich culture right here on 2RDJ.
Makedonski Koreni.
Hello, welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, radio2rdj.com, and it is time for some news. I'm going to let you go first, Gary.
You're going to let me go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In South Australia, police have had to withdraw their use of laser speed guns.
Is it because of the laser component?
Not because of the laser component, but it's been found that their method of calibrating them is not accurate.
Okay.
And because they can't calibrate them, they can't prove that a person has been speeding. So not are they just withdrawing the use of these guns until they can sort out this problem. People who have been fined, who have been busted for speeding with these laser guns, their fines are going to be reversed.
Dear idea.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, indeed. Your turn, sir.
Have you stayed at a Marriott hotel in the last 5 years?
I have indeed, and I know where you're going with this one.
So, some bad news.
Yeah.
Some of your personal data is probably out there on the dark web for sale. The Marriott group fessed up this week that some 500 million persons' personal information has been leaks. They say stolen. Leaked, hacked, stolen. It's not from Marriott themselves. The Marriott acquired a group called Starwood that runs a certain subset of hotels a couple of years ago, and they have found that there was unauthorized access to Starwood's reservation system since 2014.
Yes.
And so this has become pretty much the largest privacy breach of its kind ever since they instituted some laws that requires disclosure of these incidents in the States. Now, Marriott is attempting to figure out exactly what was stolen and is offering people some type of compensation in the form of access to some online tools that are designed to help figure out whether or not your information has been leaked and if your personal information is for sale. But you can probably expect that there will be some lawsuits come around as a result of this.
Indeed. In Queensland, a gentleman who worked for an organisation was fired because his employer used a fingerprint scanning system for sign-on and sign-off of the at work, and he refused to use it because he was worried about where his fingerprint was going. And he held that said it was an invasion of his privacy, and he didn't like it. He was reasonable, not belligerent, kept on speaking with the employers about it.
Yeah.
But the employers eventually got sick and tired and warned him and fired him. So he then tried to go for unfair dismissal. And that was thrown out of court.
Was it because he had to sign in with his fingerprint to get into the courthouse?
No.
No, okay.
No. But the courts held that it...
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, the courts held that it wasn't an invasion of his privacy, and in fact the technology that they were using didn't actually store the fingerprint. It just took a hash of it, and
it's kind of weird. Like you would think that the employer might have actually sought to put his mind at ease earlier by explaining that to him instead of just making him do it. Anyway,
I believe that they did, but he still wasn't satisfied with it, and so his case for unfair dismissal was dismissed, and so. He's now looking for a new job.
There's some good openings in biometric security.
Yes. Next, sir.
I like to open my news stories with questions. Are you a Google Hangouts user?
I am indeed, and I sent a message to Lee yesterday when I saw this story. Because Lee and I
you have to stop preempting my stories. Okay. So it has come out in the last couple of days that Google intends to shutter the Google Hangouts service sometime in 2020. So the news comes from, of course, those anonymous sources familiar with the matter within Google, and it was reported by a well-known website, 9to5 Google. The interesting part about this is that Google Hangouts, Google's product manager for messaging, who is thus the product manager for Hangouts, took to Twitter to vehemently deny the story whilst seemingly confirming it at the same time.
And well, he confirmed that there was a story, but he denied that there was
no. What's ended up happening? Like Hangouts has become quite the maligned messaging system. It's not been maintained very well by Google over the years, but they have a corporate version of it that is available in their commercial G Suite, and in that area, in that realm, they've split it into two apps called Chat and Meet. One is for chatting, and one is for video conferencing. And so what this product manager has said is that they will be migrating people off the consumer version of Hangouts and onto Chat and Meet, which thus announces...
Well, that's not too bad then.
That's not too bad, but it's also... Basically what he's saying is that they will be doing that sometime in 2020, but they haven't announced the time frame for it yet. So he's basically confirmed that the story is true, but the time frame might not be quite right. And at the same time, he sort of put the boot into the site that announced the story, saying, you know, it was wildly inaccurate, but seems to have confirmed the story at the same time.
Right.
So, well done. And also, out of this, we can take the news that Google will be bringing their enterprise chat and meet apps to consumers.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. As I said, I do use Google Chat. It's interesting. I use Google Chat to communicate with one of my offspring.
Mm-hmm.
The other one uses WhatsApp, so I use WhatsApp to communicate with him.
Mm.
So, all over the shop.
Indeed.
All over the shop. Chatbots. What do you think about chatbots?
I try to avoid them as much as possible.
So do I. Do you find them intrusive?
No. No, I don't find them intrusive. What I find is that generally, like, companies will operate a chatbot on their commercial Facebook Messenger account, and so I tend not to really interact with companies on Messenger.
Right. Okay. Story came out earlier this week, late in the week, in fact, though, about chatbots, and they are reading what you are typing as you type it.
In which platform?
It doesn't say which platform, but basically, if you say that you want to inquire, let's say it's a commercial thing, and you want to inquire about a particular fridge, they will know what fridge you want to inquire about before you actually hit the enter button, and they can do a lookup and actually have a link ready for you as soon as you hit the enter button, and a second later they've got the link there for you and they're sending it back to you, maybe even less than a second, depending upon how good they are. But they're pre-reading your messages as you type them in. How do you feel about that?
So this would have to be something that's happening on the website, because on the website, on a web interface, you've got JavaScript that can actually access the things that you're typing into the browser. If you're using an app on a phone, then the text that you're typing does not actually leave your phone until you push the send button.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So that's interesting. Maybe this is more the kind of like product assistant chatbot. So
exactly. Yes.
Yeah, no, look, you know,
product sales assistant and so on.
Fair enough. I'm not really too fussed about that. I mean, like, I don't tend to go typing entire messages into chatbot systems and then erasing them and typing something different. But you know, I don't think it's too bad.
Okay. Next one from you, sir.
Next one from me. How many cameras do you think a phone needs?
You're talking about the S10?
No. Like I said, you got to stop trying to preempt my stories.
Okay, because I did see something, and I was going to send this image to Lee because it looked ridiculous. I think it had 3, 6, 7 cameras.
No. Nah.
8?
No. Nah, no, I don't even know. I don't know what you're talking about. But LG is...
Okay, well, this was a Samsung, so no.
LG has gotten a patent this week for a phone with 16 cameras on it.
Oh, my God.
They are arranged in a 4x4 grid, which means that different cameras can see different things.
Each of them can see something different.
Yeah, they can all see something different. They can thus perform a live 3D view. They can take 3D photos and video. And it also means that they can work in some funky stuff into the software whereby they can identify a subject's head and allow you to rotate their head in post-process editing of your photo.
That can only go so far, cameras.
It can only go so far, but you are already seeing the effect of having two cameras on Facebook, unless you're you and you don't see it on Facebook.
Where
iPhone users can currently post what Facebook calls 3D photos, and that's from a dual camera system, and I'm actually really surprised seeing the amount of information that's captured by the two cameras.
Well, don't be surprised at that.
Well, I can
because two cameras emulates what our eyes do. We only have two eyes,
and that's fine.
And we get beautiful 3D vision through that.
But I'm still quite surprised that two cameras on a phone can actually fill in background behind a person in a normal shot. Like it's very impressive.
Well, one can see, each of them can see different parts. Yeah. While we're talking about 3D, we may as well just very quickly discuss the loaner car that I have at the moment and the 360-degree camera view that it has. It's really quite off-putting, I find, because 360-degree camera now, this is some fairly recent technology.
I find a 360 projection view around an object is going to be weird anyway.
Well, it is somewhat weird. The cameras are placed at about waist level on the vehicle, and it does give you indeed a 360-degree view.
But it tries to project it from a top view, and then that becomes weird.
That becomes weird when you have a flat icon of the car and objects that are at waist high towering above the vehicle. It's strange. It's very strange.
I got one more.
Go for it. One more.
And it's gonna lead into something that we're going to talk about a little bit later on.
Okay.
But IKEA is overseas, not in Australia. It's still yet to come to Australia. But IKEA does have some smart home control devices, bulbs, smart plugs, things like that.
Right.
And they've just announced their most recent addition to the product lineup overseas. It is, in the US, a $10 smart plug that's controllable via an app. Now, that's
pretty cheap.
That is pretty cheap. Like, we've been seeing a lowering of prices in this space for smart plugs. There was a particular supermarket that's known for its low prices and weekly specials that had a $20 smart plug here in recent weeks. And I may have gone out and purchased a few of those for use around my house. But like getting an IKEA system to do it, and IKEA's things usually feature Google Home and Apple HomeKit integration. In this case, they're delaying the HomeKit integration. I'm not sure about the Google Home integration, but it will be there. It'll get there eventually.
While we're talking about Google Home and all that, I've been thinking that, you know, we may get a dog shortly. The new apartment laws are coming into effect, and we're having a body corporate meeting in a couple of weeks' time, and they're going to be reviewing the pet laws.
Yeah, you've got access to quite a good yard in your place as well.
We do. Yeah. We do. And I've been thinking about calling my dog Alexa when I get it. I don't know whether that's a good idea or not, but you know, if not Alexa, then maybe Google. What do you think, Jason? I know what you think.
I think you might want to turn on voice match for your dog.
Yes,
indeed. So it only responds to your voice.
Yes. I think you think that that cat is high. This is the Captain Matchbox Whoopee Band.
Yards from the pole, and it's homegrown from Acapulco Gold, stopping in its track. Lebanese Red coming at them with Afghan Black on the outside, but it'd be homegrown, the winner, sweet in the Melbourne Cup. Homegrown
about a link. That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye. Old man is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye. Man, I wouldn't lie. Cat's higher than the sky. Now when you see him dancing up and down the street, you know that cat's been smoking devil's heels on his feet. Man, he's high. I said that cat is high. That cat is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye. Old man is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at them two stone guys. Man, I wouldn't lie. That's higher than a kite. Now when you see him tripping round the mouth, you know that cat is whack right to the grand wappity. That cat is high. I said that cat is high. That cat is high. He's higher than the sky.
Oh, Mr. Hubbard.
I'm Ricky Hilder and I present It's Just a Number. In reaching new heights from age 60 and beyond, how do we retire and still have a successful, meaningful and happy life? Join me Thursdays 3 till 5 and we can find out together. After all, it's just a number.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band. We are on the internet at allthews.radio2rdj.com.
All the W's being either 0 or 3.
Yes, exactly. And if they're 0, then don't bother with the dot after them, because there won't be anything to put the dot in after.
Hmm.
Okay, was that clear?
No.
How's your artwork? Are you good at drawing?
No.
Okay.
I used to be.
Used to be? Okay. Because it's December, and that means Christmas is drawing near.
Right.
That was very long, wasn't it?
I don't feel like you painted that one well.
No.
Sort of wrote it into a corner.
Indeed. Painted it into a corner,
yeah,
in
painted
fact.
It into a corner, yes. Never mind.
Yes. Well, we'll paint the town red. Christmas is drawing near. And As such, everyone is talking about what you should buy for Christmas. Here on the Gadget Grill, however, we're no different.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that. Sure, okay.
And, of course, one of the big things this year, and that's really, it is starting to take off a little bit, yeah, is the advent of the smart home. And you know how much I love...
I can't believe you said a smart home. Like, well, do you feel dirty?
I feel very dirty. Yeah. I'm just going to go to the bathroom now and have a shower.
So this is something that might be better explained as home automation.
I much prefer that idea.
Using the word smart
home. I much prefer that expression. Thank you, Mr. Murray.
So this is the idea that you might want to place certain devices within your house to control certain things.
Such as calling your dog Alexa.
Probably not. Although, actually, I've been thinking about this. You would be able to freak your dog out quite well with some Google Home features.
Yes.
But yes. So the idea of home automation is not actually new. It's been around for quite a while. Bill Gates very famously kitted his house out
with a lot of
devices that could be controlled from other devices.
You're ignoring me.
I am. But these days, home automation tends to take the form of usually you might start with some lights, for example. That's pretty much how far I've gone in my place. I've got lights that are directly sitting on my Wi-Fi network, and they're controlled by my Google Home. But you might also have some plugs that are connected to lights that are not as smart. And what happens these days is that in years gone by, you might have a custom control panel or weird things set up to install and set these up. But these days, you tend to use either Apple HomeKit and control them with your voice via Siri, or you'll use a Google Home and control it with your voice via the Google Assistant. And each of these ecosystems kind of does similar things, but they've been growing support for just hundreds and hundreds of devices from different manufacturers in different countries. And I've been watching the list of supported devices just grow every time I install something new in the Google Assistant over the last year. I set up some of those $20 smart plugs that I was referring to in the earlier story over the course of the week. And it took me a long time to scroll down the list and find the provider for them.
Right.
So,
are they still available?
No, because they were one of the special buys that come in week in, week out.
How long ago was that? Last week?
It was about a month or two ago.
Okay.
But yeah.
There won't be any left.
No, there's not. But they'll come up again. So maybe we should talk about the setup that I've got in my house.
Please do.
So in my house, I've got a Google Home Hub sitting in my lounge room, and I've got a Google Home Mini in my bedroom, and a normal standard Google Home in the study. And I don't have any lights in the bedroom, but I can turn lights elsewhere in the house.
No wonder you're always in the dark.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have any smart lights in the bedroom. But I've been trying to sort out some automation to turn lights on and off around my display cabinets in the study, and I've also got there's a side table with a lamp on it. There's some Philips Hue lights that are next to my television, and a Hue light strip that's behind it. So I can use my voice to tell the Google Assistant to change the color of particular Hue lights if I'd like to. And I can also group them together with my voice. So I can say, make the TV lights green, for example.
Let's just go back a step for a
moment. Talk about Philips Hue?
Let's talk about Philips Hue, because these are LED lights, are they not?
No, not all of them.
Not all of them.
No. You're probably right. They are probably LED.
And
but, so Hue
they
has,
have the ability to change colour.
Yeah, Hue, it doesn't really matter what powers them. Hue makes lots of multicoloured lights in lots of varying shapes and sizes and forms now. So Philips has sort of an offshoot that creates different form factors for their Hue lights. And I think they just recently released some that come in the shape of candle bulbs or something. I saw a press release for that the other day. But They've got lots of different options. The bog standard thing is just a light that turns on and off, and it's white.
And
you can get You can get something slightly more complicated that turns on and off and has and can become any color that you'd like. You can get a light strip that is a sort of a string of LED lights you can stick to things, and they all sit on your Wi-Fi network and can be controlled by your voice or by whatever device
you have. But you need to also have a Hue controller, don't you?
I'm not sure that you do anymore. So Philips, so a lot of these devices, and this goes back to things like Sonos speakers. A lot of these devices used to need their own device sitting in your house in order to maintain control over them. And Sonos evolved past using the bridge, and I'm not sure whether Philips did or not. But you can generally find a starter pack, and here's where we get into some of the gift suggestions, right?
Right.
You can usually find a starter pack for Hue that'll have a couple of bulbs and probably one of those bridges in it.
Yep.
So I look, maybe the bridge is still needed, but I think they've changed the bridge a bit over the years, and so you can buy some of these packs, connect things up. There's a very simple quick start guide that comes in, and if you don't have a Google Home or an Apple HomeKit device to control things with Siri, you can just install the Hue app on your phone or your tablet and control the lights that way.
Right.
You can also, in fact, control them from your PC or Mac as well.
Okay.
I think possibly the cheapest way to get into this is to get a Google Home Mini, which usually they're about $70-$75, but I think you can get them on sale at the moment for about $50 to $60.
50 is around about the mark that I've seen them at.
And like so if you don't necessarily want to buy a bulb, maybe buy one of the smart plugs, because there are smart plugs that are sort of about $40 or $50 at the moment, and you can plug that in and put your favorite lamp onto that plug, and then you can turn that lamp on and off with your voice or with a button in the Google Home app or a button in the manufacturer's own app as well.
Okay, so that's the manufacturer of the smart plug.
Yeah, so usually what will happen is if you get a smart device, there is an app that supports it, and like you'll have to sign up for like an account on their website or something, and you'll get the app that supports their product, and then you'll find that Google or Apple will also support that as well.
Right.
There are logos on the boxes. If you're not quite sure whether or not they work with particular systems, you can look for the Google or the Apple.
So that'll be
logos.
An iPhone logo or an Android logo?
No. So for Apple, it's works with HomeKit, and right. For Google, it works with Google Assistant.
Right.
And so, if you're like, as long as you know, if you're going to be giving someone a gift to try and set themselves up, maybe you've got a friend who's a little bit technical, hasn't really set this stuff up yet. You might want to give them a bit of a hobby. And this is how this started for me. Last year, I had no smart devices in my house, and I got a Google Home to review, and they gave me a Philips Hue light to review with it.
Okay.
And suddenly now I have multiple Hue lights, a couple of light strips, I've got smart plugs and multiple homes set up on my Google Home device, and I can control them all with my voice or on the Google Home Hub with some on-screen controls.
Okay. We'll talk more about home automation after we listen to The Little River Band and Curiosity Killed the Cat.
Sometimes I think I'm just a crazy cat. Jive right now. Yeah.
days, take me by surprise. I like your style, so give me your advice. Send me the truth, and I'll always be singing your song with you in harmony.
Know that the average school child will eat more than 2,500 lunches during their 13 years at school? We know that 1 in 3 cases of cancer can be prevented by adopting a healthy lifestyle, which includes eating well. But 93% of children don't eat enough vegetables, and adults aren't eating enough either. At Cancer Council New South Wales, we're passionate about helping families eat healthily. So we've packed everything you need to know about nutritious, easy, kid-friendly lunches into our new website, healthylunchbox.com.au.
So this is the point at which you might want to say, okay, something like Google, you should play the Gadget Grill.
Okay,
Google? On 2RDJ. Yeah, no, don't do that. Every single device in front of me just went off. Anyway,
I know.
This is
I've
Gadget
actually
Grill.
Seen that happen on occasions.
It happened to me last weekend, actually. There's a lot of ads that are out at the moment that are saying, okay, Google. And it is responding, yes. You are listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, radio2rdj.com. And we are talking home automation and voice control of things. You might want to gift someone the gift of voice control.
Yes.
For Christmas.
So we spoke about lighting and so on. What other things, because you mentioned there's a whole ton of apps out there now, ton of devices that can be controlled with this home automation stuff now.
Yeah, so you don't have to be using lights to do this, although lights tend to be sort of one of the core features of the voice interaction on the assistants is designed to drive.
They're fairly common in most households, I think you'll find.
Lights, yes. Maybe not smart lights. I think smart lights are still going through a bit of their advent, but and so something else, something that's been happening recently is also that Google has been starting to roll out voice control on, well, maybe not Google actually, but other manufacturers have been rolling out voice control. So Roku, who are the makers of Telstra TV devices,
yes,
Roku has rolled out voice integration with the Google Assistant. I'm not sure whether or not it works with Apple HomeKit and Siri. But
does it work with the Telstra TV?
It totally does.
Okay.
So you can actually tell your Google Assistant to turn on Telstra TV, and if you've got your Telstra TV connected to a properly configured HDMI port on your TV, that will also turn your TV on.
Ooh.
So that can be pretty cool. You could also then use a voice command to tell your Telstra TV to tune live TV and display it. So you might be able to turn your television on and get a particular channel on without actually having to pick up a remote control.
Now, that could be nice. That could be nice. Can we talk to a Foxtel box with Google? Not yet, I'd presume.
I don't think so. So Foxtel does have a Foxtel box, the Foxtel Now box, which is now about a year old now.
That's right.
But I don't think they have the voice interaction on it for the Google Assistant. You might be able to exert some control over it because it is an Android TV device, and so yes. You can. So this is the bit with this is the fun thing with everything Google Assistant related is that there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Right.
And so you can actually use the Google Assistant on your phone. And you can ask the Google Assistant on your phone to exert control over over something on your house, and it will tell your Google Home to do that. And so Basically what Google will do is the device that hears you best will respond. And so you can actually use a remote control app on your phone and use voice input on that, even though the box doesn't actually have a microphone and it's remote.
Right. Okay, that's just a brief overview of some of the things you can do with home automation. Now, you mentioned more than one ways to skin a cat. This is a guy by the name of Al Stewart, and the song is called Year of the Cat.
Stay in the year of the cat.
And welcome back to the final moments of the Gadget Grill tonight.
Oh, thank goodness it's tonight.
Yeah. Or today, if it's Tuesday.
Shall we talk about some useless technology? Maybe not useless, but
very quickly.
Misused.
Very quickly.
It's necessary to frame it somewhat. In China, it's common for surveillance systems to do facial recognition of people who jaywalk.
Very pervasive.
Project their faces. Well, it's not really pervasive if you don't have any rights.
Yes.
But, and project their faces on screens to shame them as they catch people crossing the road. It saves them from having to get police to come along and police the jaywalk because it publicly shames you. So this was caught happening recently at a particular intersection in a Chinese city, except the system was tricked by the giant face of a makeup ad on a bus, which the system then amplified up onto the big screen. So free advertising for the makeup company. Well done.
Absolutely. You have been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet, radio2rdj.com. If you're listening on Tuesday, we'll be back next Tuesday. If you're listening right now on Sunday, we'll be back on Tuesday and Sunday.
I'm so confused. Am I Good. Still me?
You are still the faceplant kid, yes.
Yeah.
What is your name, Mr. Faceplant Kid?
I'm Jason Murray. Thank you for listening.
And I'm the Professor Stumpy Lamb Chop Professor.
Lamb Chop, you're a little sheep that is...
Mutton Chop, sorry, Mutton Chop.
It's when you children, Lamb Chop.
Oh,
Lamb Chop is that, yeah.
I take great delight in...
Amusing children.
Not amusing them, in terrorising them. Yeah, little five-year-old girl... I can put you on the barbecue, we'll marinate you.
I think we should just stop that right now.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Well, the barbecue, I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, good.
We'll be back next time. Take care.
One of us will be.
Yes. This is Clark.
You're expecting a call from the station's board on Monday.
Indeed I am. This is Clark Terry and Sophisticated Lady. Take care and enjoy.
Goodbye.